Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read together verses 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. And since there are only two verses, let's read them all together, everyone now. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Tonight's Bible study is, all the titles that we're going to give during this are going to be questions. But this question tonight is, what about your time? What about your time? Our Heavenly Father, I ask you now that you give us understanding that we might be obedient to your word. Thank you, Lord, for being able to pray together tonight as a church family. Be with those tonight who cannot be with us. I pray that your blessing would be upon them. And for our dear family that is tuned in online, I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them with the teaching of the Word of God tonight. And I do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And God bless you. Of course, you may be seated. What about your time? I think that's a good question. We all have a certain amount of time, and someone has said that the average Christian lives far beneath his privileges. The older I get, and the longer I pastor, and the longer I've been in the ministry, I believe that to be accurate and true. God has made us so many promises that we never realize simply because we do not give God the opportunity to do what God does best and to give us blessings and to take care of us. And I really believe that many of God's people perhaps even live poverty-filled lives, and I don't mean money-wise. I mean spiritually, because they live below their privileges that they have in the Lord. And so we don't give God the opportunity to demonstrate his power to us. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 admonishes us. He says, "Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, "Prove me." How many of us prove God? He wants us to prove him. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, but he says, "You prove me. You see what I can do." You don't know what God can do until you prove him. And as a church family, we want to attempt to do all that God has for us to do. And we really do. We may not be the largest church anywhere in the world, but we are a church that God has blessed, and God has a plan for all of us, and we want to see what God will do. That's what I want. That's what I pray for day by day, and I really do, by the way. I pray day by day for that very thing. I want to see what God can do to us, through us, and for us. And he will do for us as a church family just, now listen, don't miss this, what we allow him to do. You know, the Bible says you have not because why? Because you ask not. At one point when Jesus had his ministry here on the earth, he said he went to one town and he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I believe God wants to continue to work in Timberline Baptist Church, though I think there are those who believe that he doesn't anymore. But I believe that God is in it, and I believe God wants to use this place, and I want to see what God can do. The same is true for each and every one of us as individuals. The challenge for us today is to give God the opportunity to show himself strong. And I really mean that. An anonymous poet wrote the words to a poem called Time. I'm going to read it to you. It says, "I have only just a minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it. But it's up to me to use it. I must suffer if I lose it. Give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." You see, we all have the same amount of time every single day. And if you would learn what a man believes, watch how he lives, because then you're going to, because his philosophy and his convictions and the things that he has in his life are always evidenced in his life by what he believes. You only do that which you really truly believe. And there are three basic philosophies or theories by which men live. I'm going to give you those tonight. I don't know that I'll ever repeat them. Maybe at the end of the entire series that I'm going to do. But there's only three basic philosophies or theories by which men live. Number one, the first is communist, the communist theory. Now, I don't even like the name communist, but that's where everything belongs to the government. Everything belongs to the government. When I was living in Michigan, I taught a class in the Christian school there on communism versus capitalism, you see. And I taught that to the students that were there. No, communism says everything belongs to the government. We take from you and we distribute it. The second philosophy is the capitalist theory, and it says everything belongs to men. Everything belongs to men? Not too sure about that. The third, though, is the Christian theory, and I'm going to read you what I have, where everything belongs to God, and we, as his stewards, are responsible to him for how we treat his property. There should be nothing in our lives, including ourselves, that does not belong to God. Everything. I know that when I was a teenager, I would hear preaching about rededicating or dedicating my life to the Lord. The verses that were always used were Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And listen, as a teenager, I remember I was 17 when I really realized I needed to dedicate my life to the Lord. Well, that is the Christian theory of how we're supposed to live. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, they tell us that we as Christians are God's stewards. And it says this, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You see, nothing belongs to me. It all belongs to God. And I'm a steward of what God has given. I'm a steward of not only my life, I'm a steward of this ministry, of the pulpit that I preach behind, of the car that I drive, of the house that I live in, of the family that I have, the wife that God gave me. I'm a steward of all that. And the Bible says that my responsibility is to be a faithful steward to all those things. Probably the most often used excuse given by people for not serving the Lord is that they just don't have the time. And my question tonight for the title of the Bible study is, what about your time? What about your time? Here's what people say. I've heard this all the years that I've been in the ministry. You've heard it too. I know you have. There are some within the sound of my voice that not only have heard it, but have also said it from one time or another, because I think we're all susceptible to this weakness. The first thing that I heard was, well, Saturday and Sunday are my days off. Well, I've heard that over and over again. I don't want to come to church on Sunday because that's my only time to be at home. That's my only time that I have. A second excuse they give is this. We can't come on Wednesday night because that's the only time we have to spend together as a family. And so they won't come to church on Wednesday night. Now, I'm one that believes when that door squeaks on the hinges, we're supposed to be here. I really believe that with all my heart. We're to be faithful stewards of this local church. But often we hear people complain that there just isn't enough time to do everything that we need to do. Sometimes that is just a lack of stewardship of our time. Stewardship of our time. And with that thought, you know, we've all sort of heard the poem that says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. We've heard that most of our lives as believers. With that in mind, let me ask us some very simple questions concerning our giving God that opportunity with our time. God wants us to use our time wisely. In fact, he gives us complete instruction about that, and I'll give you that verse in just a moment. But what do you do with your time? Here are some statistics and some facts that I guarantee you most of us don't think about. There's 168 hours in a week. That's all we get. No more, no less. If you sleep 8 hours every night, you're left with 112 hours. Now, some of us don't sleep 8 hours a night. I know I don't. That's because I wake up and I can't go back to sleep. I wish I could sleep 8 hours, but that's just not going to happen in this lifetime. But if you sleep 8 hours every night, then you're left with 112 hours. If you spend an hour and a half a day eating your meals, I mean total time, that you have 101 and a half hours left. If you spend 10 hours a day working or going to and from work, you only have 51 and a half hours left. And so people, they might drive 30 minutes to their job, work for 8 or 9 hours, and drive 30 minutes going home. And so that's what we're talking about. It's an average of 7 hours a day. And where do you spend it? What do you do? What do you do with that time? Supposing, though, add to that, you never miss a service at church. That's three, think about that, that's 3 hours on Sunday, 9:45 till about 1 o'clock, or 12:30, right in there. 2 hours on Sunday night, and 2 hours on Wednesday night. That's a total of 7 hours just going to church. Well, that leaves quite a bit of time left. And if we give God a tithe of our time, what's a tithe? 10% of 168 hours is 16.8 hours. So if we tithe our time, we're still 9.5 hours or almost 10 hours short of a tithe of our time. And what do you do with God's time? God says we're supposed to redeem that. And we'll look at that verse in a moment. You got to take a moment and figure out what we're doing personally with our time. People will say, well, I just don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Is that really an accurate thing to say? Or is it just poor planning? Sometimes it's only poor planning. This hour that you have need not be all done at one time. I mean, you can divide that up, broken up into several smaller sections. You think about what you do with reading your Bible and spending time in prayer. You think about the time you might spend in witnessing or talking to someone, maybe listening to good Christian music or a good Christian radio program, and there are still are some that are left. You take all that and add it together, there's still time left. But what do we do with it? We say we don't have time. Everything that you do for the Lord doesn't have to be done all at once, but you can spread it out. So what does the Bible say, number two, that we should do with our time? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. We read those a moment ago. It simply says this, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." That's what God wants us to do with our time. As stewards of our time, as stewards of the days that God has given to us, as stewards of that 168 hours in a week, God wants us to be redeeming that time. But what does that mean? We're to redeem it, but what does that mean? There are two words in the New Testament. This may or may not be important to anybody, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. There are two words in the New Testament that are translated as the word time. See, sometimes it's a different word translated time than another word that is translated as time. But they have different meanings, and they mean two very different things. One of these words for time means, it's the more common one, and it simply means succession of moments, minutes, hours, as time passes. That's what it's talking about. And so, one of them, though, the more common one, is that succession of moments. And so, but then, it's that's the way it's used here, redeeming the time, the minutes that we have, the days that we have, the hours that God has given to us, that 168 hours in a week's time. And so, it simply implies the succession of moments, and it's used here, and it means a definite portion of time to which some definite work or occurrence belongs. In other words, we come to church. Starts at 9:45. We're out of church by noon. That's a definite period of time. Come to church on Wednesday night. Service begins at 7. The online family tunes in at 7:30. We're usually done by 8 o'clock or so. That's a definite period of time, okay? And so that's the one way the word is used. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, it's translated as the word season. And it indicates an opportunity that we have. In other words, redeeming the time is not just making the best of the moments that we have, but it is laying hold of and understanding the special significance of life as a whole, of each succeeding instance as it is seasoned for some specific duty. God wants us to use that wisely. The season that he gives us, it's not merely time, but it is the time that God is redeeming, the time that God has given to us, using that time wisely. And what is our specific duty in this life? And if we could just comprehend what a life was given to us for, just understanding why we're here, to bring honor and glory to God in everything that we do, redeeming the time because the days are evil. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the word of God says, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That's talking about our lives, what we do, not just in the moment, but every moment, you see. We find in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that we are created by Christ and for him. Let me read these verses to you. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." What's our purpose in this life? "Whether therefore you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God." That's why we're here. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Why are we here? We're not here just to take up space in a pew, take up space on the road. We're not here just to fill in space in our houses. We were given our lives for him and to bring honor to him, you see. It's easy to talk about giving our lives to the Lord, but when it comes right down to the point of giving him our moments, it begins to look a little bit different. "Sure, Lord, you have my life, but what about every moment of every day?" Every moment of every day. The present, right now, must be given to God. This is his time. That past, the past may be beautiful, but it's gone. And someone said a long time ago, the past is a nice place to visit, but it's a terrible place to live. But the past is over with. It's gone. It'll not be repeated. Tomorrow is full of opportunities for service, but tomorrow never comes. Why? Because when tomorrow shows up, then it's today. And God should get every moment of every day. The present is always just commonplace and mundane, so filled with the trivial everyday tasks, but it's still the time that we have to give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus every day, no matter what that mundane activity is, no matter what, it's all his. Now, what does the word redeem mean? To redeem the time. We've discussed what time means. There's two words in the New Testament translated time, and one means the seconds in an hour. Another one means the seasons of our lives. Then the word redeem. Here's what it means. I'm going to read you the meaning that I looked up. It means to ransom or to purchase, to acquire by giving something in return. God wants us to ransom, to buy that time and to use it. The life that we have in Jesus as children of God offers us opportunities to glorify God, and these opportunities must be redeemed. People say, "Well, I missed that opportunity." You don't want to miss an opportunity that God has for you. And all of us have at one time or another. We've all missed an opportunity that God gave us. But we're to redeem that. We're to buy it back. We're to make sure it has meaning. You know, we read a moment ago the phrase that says, "Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." That's talking about the opportunities that God gives us. Only what's done for Christ will last. What do we have to give up in order to avail ourselves of these opportunities? What do we have to do? I mean, only what's done for Christ? Well, the truth of the matter is, we have to give away our selfish motives and all of our temporal values, to give those up. Why? Because there's more important things to do than our own selfish desires. When I was 17 and I surrendered my life to serve the Lord, and I'll never regret it. I've never taken the promise back that I gave to God. I wish I was as faithful to it as He wanted me to be. But at 17, I knelt down at that altar in my home church, and my pastor was there, and I knelt down, and the evangelist was there, and I said, "Lord, You're getting all of me. You're not getting much, but You're getting all of me." And I surrendered that to the Lord, just like Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. And I did that because I wanted Him to have my days, and I wanted Him to have my nights, and I wanted Him to have my life day after day. And I had a lot of dreams as a teenager of what I wanted to do. I've told you my testimony too many times, and I don't repeat it because I have nothing else to say. But listen, when I was in high school, I had three really strong strengths in my life. One was speech. You wouldn't know it now that I'm tripping over my words. Speech and journalism and radio communications. I was just planning on going into radio for the rest of my life. That's what I wanted to do. But I had to strike a match to those dreams. Why? Because God had a plan for my life. I had to put the things away that I wanted to do, the thing that I wanted to be. And I had to remove the word I out of those desires and serve the Lord with my life. Our daily duties are given to us for the same purpose, as to bring glory to God. But if we go about our daily tasks without ever thinking about God or thanking God, then we are failing to redeem the time. Because to redeem the time is for His honor and for His glory, you see. And if we're going to redeem the time, the Bible says, look if you would please again at the verses that we read a moment ago. Verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly." What does He mean by that? Walking circumspectly. That's God's desire that we walk that way. It means to, quote, watch your step. It means to walk accurately and to walk carefully, not devil may care, not whatever we, not carelessly in our lives. We are to walk with purpose day by day in our lives and doing things on purpose and with purpose, you see. And we must follow carefully the commands of the Lord Jesus to guide us, because the days are evil. We walk Lee Robertson used to say, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Stay right down the middle. And you know, the Word of God teaches that, and that's where Lee Robertson got it from, was from the Word of God. But all too often we get sidetracked and get involved in all kinds of things. You think about the book of Proverbs, and we just got through learning lessons from Proverbs, and we spent years and years ago, over 6 years in the book of Proverbs. And you think about, I think it's 20 or 21 times, Solomon says, my son, he's teaching his son how to live. And three of those chapters in particular are dedicated to living a life that is morally pure and right. That's chapters 5, 6, and 7. We learn in there about the unvirtuous woman. We learn in the Bible about the virtuous woman. We learn about purity. We learn about the simple one who was taken easily by the wiles of a wicked woman. To walk circumspectly means you avoid that. You listen to what God has to say so that our lives are not wrecked and ruined by our own desires. And they can be. They can be. I think about how many young people today surrendered their life to serve the Lord, but then they got a little older and they got out into the world and they found a guy or a gal that wasn't going in the same direction they were going. Or they found an opportunity to have a job in the world rather than serving the Lord with their lives, as that they surrendered to do. Or they got so busy with other things, they no longer had time for God. And they might say things like, oh, I was young when I made that decision. I didn't know what I was doing. No, I'm here to tell you, they got sidetracked all too often. The time in which we live has a tendency to draw us away from walking circumspectly. If we are going to redeem the time, we have to walk carefully. We have to walk watchfully. We have to walk circumspectly, or we're going to miss opportunities to bring glory to God. Things that I should have been doing that I didn't do. The Apostle Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. He was susceptible to the things of his day, just as we are. But that doesn't mean we have to live that way every day. So, I want to bring this Bible study tonight to a close, and there are a few principles that we can apply in order to use our time for God's glory. I want to give you three principles, okay? Number one, you have to anticipate. What do I mean by that? Establish your priorities and plan ahead. Most people don't plan to fail. They just fail to plan. So you have to anticipate. What are you going to do? If I do this, is that going to take me away from my goal in life? Is that going to take me away from the will of God? Is that going to take me away from what God has for me? Anticipate. Looking down the road, making plans. Don't just be myopic and see straight one thing and be short-sighted. Don't do that. Anticipate what's coming. Then, secondly, evaluate. What absolutely has to be done? Will something I have planned fail to bring glory to God? Evaluate what you're doing. All right, if I go here, is that going to bring glory to God? If I do this, is that going to bring glory to God? If I participate in this, if I have this relationship, if I have this type of a friendship, if I have this kind of an education, what's going to take me away from walking circumspectly as God wants me to do? And then the last thing, and I know these are all end with eight, anticipate, evaluate, but finally, learn to regulate. Determine the best way to get it done. Brother Hiles, my pastor for a number of years, and of course the president of a college, Hiles Anderson, he recommends the principle of doing all you can every day in a short period of time. And don't let yourself get caught up in getting late in doing things or getting lazy about things or any of the rest of it. He said, try to accomplish everything that you can. And I know we don't all do that all the time, but here's what I tell you that I do. I don't usually take all day to accomplish what I'm supposed to accomplish unless it's going to take me all day. I try to get things done. I think about when Monday rolls around. There's a number of duties that I have on Monday. If I let it drag on till Tuesday, I'll never get it done. So what I try to do on Mondays is I try to get those things taken care of right away, so they're not dragging on me for the rest of the week. Try to get it done as quickly as I can. And that leaves me time to serve the Lord. Never let a day start, by the way, without the Bible and without spending some time in prayer. Never let a day begin where you don't spend some time like that. And I'm not talking about hours and hours of prayer and Bible reading. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being in your Bible, maybe memorizing Bible verses, maybe reading a chapter or two, spending some time over your prayer list, praying over those things, praying for the people that you know, praying for your church, praying for your pastor, praying for those that are around you, asking God what he would have you to do. So you gotta learn to see your home or your job or your community as a mission field. You see, we're not just here to sit soaking sour in our salvation and in our eternal security, using our time wisely in ministering to others. Somebody said one time, you're either a missionary or you're a mission field. You're either reaching people or somebody's going to have to reach you. And they say it's still true. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. So what about your time? Do we waste time? That doesn't mean you have to be moving every single moment of every day while you're awake. Sometimes it's just good to sit still. Sometimes it's good to sit and meditate and be quiet or whatever it might be. And what I am saying is this, is that God has given us as his stewards of our lives, as stewards of our time, to do what we can to bring honor and glory to God every single day that we live. For that's what he wants us to do. I mean, after all, he gave us our life. We can either waste it on just ourselves or we can invest it in the Lord himself. And I think that's what God would have us to do. So what about your time? Again, the word of God says very, very plainly, it simply says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Apparently, being a fool and being wise are at opposite ends of the spectrum. So that's a choice we must make every single day.